This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash and an anonymous contributor. Good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning right back to you there, Laurie. It's certainly good to see you. We've had a good week, I think. But today we have a very special show, and I want to welcome Emily Jones, Rebecca Watson, and Charmaine Moser, two of whom are here, Rebecca and Charmaine, and on her phone is Emily Jones. Now, you ask, why am I doing the show this way today? And the simple answer is, I want this audience to get to know two things. Number one, what Moms for Liberty is all about, and what Common Sense Campaign is doing here in Baldwin County to do exactly what Moms for Liberty, I think, does in terms of looking at issues pertaining to what sort of books are in libraries, okay? Charmaine is working on that for us, and I want her to have an opportunity for everyone here to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it. Just as I want you all out there in audience land to have a fuller picture of what Moms for Liberty is doing, okay? So the show today is going to concentrate on those things. And I know that there's all sorts of, you know, interesting things going on in the world, and we are the Conservative Watchdog News Review. Well, I'm not doing reviews today. Unless the ladies finish up so fast that I have to fill some time, then we'll talk about some things. But at any rate, I don't think that's going to happen. And I'm really anxious for you all to hear from our guests today. So the game plan this morning is we'll have some background introductions. Then we're going to talk about the issues pertaining to Moms for Liberty, why these young ladies are getting involved with Moms for Liberty, what the issues are. And then from there, you know, what we need to do to help them get going with what they want to do. When they're done with that, Charmaine will have an opportunity to talk about what she's doing with the analysis of the library books first in Baldwin County, in the schools, starting with elementary, middle schools, and high school. And then she will shift from that particular issue to the materials within the schools. What are the kids really being taught? And that this is not an overnight problem here and project, but it's begun, and I want you all to hear about it. So let's just have introductory type, is it really Monday? I mean, I feel like I'm just, okay, struggling with this. At any rate, I want you all to hear from our guests, get some background introductory information, and then we'll get into the meat of all this. So, Emily, if you would go first this morning, just tell us who you are, what you're doing, where you are, and what your background is.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Emily Jones. I am here in Huntsville, Madison part of Alabama, so the very opposite end of the state from where you all are. My background is really more in the finance world. A couple of years ago, like most people with COVID, kind of woke up to what was going on in our world. Got a lot more involved in politics and started paying attention at a local level. And through that, really started seeing a lot of issues that are going on in our state legislature and our school system. So I have a child that's in public school here in Madison, and in the past 2 years that he's been in public school, really started noticing a lot of concerning content that's in the schools and just overall dialogue that's taking place. And then in the past year, we've had this crazy explosion of the transgender stuff with right. Males and female bathrooms and locker rooms and all that. So that's kind of been my focus the past year and a half with Moms for Liberty, trying to get my brain wrapped around that so that I can properly educate those in the community and activate parents to get involved and kind of reclaim our school systems. And from there, start taking over some of these institutions that have been infiltrated by these left ideologies.
Well, thank you, Emily. Really good. Rebecca? if you can kind of give us a background. Now, Rebecca is from Portland, Oregon.
Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
But it's very close.
I have Portland in my mind. The fact of the matter is she's from the left coast. She found her way here.
Don't hold it against me.
No, not at all. Glad to have you. So tell us who you are.
So my background is I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have four kids. And so really, I have nothing but time on my hands to look into things.
I can't believe that with four kids. Come on.
Well, they are all in school. So I have time on my hands to figure out what's going on, and that's my job. So we moved to Baldwin County a year and a half ago, and I was so grateful to be here in this beautiful community, thinking that none of the things that were happening where I moved from were happening here. We were safe, our children were safe, and I could finally breathe. I started noticing just a few things that were red flags to me, started looking into things and realizing that nobody is really safe from things that are seeping in. And so I just kind of made it my mission to investigate it and educate myself about where we live, what's happening in this county, and how can I bring awareness to other parents so that we can stop what's happening or beginning to happen here and prevent it from getting any further, because I don't want what happened where I lived to happen here.
Great. Thank
you.
So
that's my
mission. Really appreciate
Thank you.
So, Charmaine, I know Charmaine has been a longtime member of Common Sense Campaign, so she's not someone who has, you know, just arrived here, but she also has this background in education, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, she got involved with Common Sense, because of our emphasis on what's going on in education. So as it applies to this project, can you tell us, you know, what the project is about, and then we'll get into, well, first of all, your background, and then we'll get into the project down the road a little bit, okay?
Thank you, Lou. I am a native of Mobile and spent the majority of my life there. My husband and I moved to Spanish Fort 22 years ago, and all of my grandchildren, my grandsons, were raised in the Spanish Fort school system. I taught second grade and middle school for 25 years. I have been retired for a good long while now, and I have one great-grandchild who is 2 years old. He's the one I'm concerned about. My grandsons have all finished college except for the last one, and I'm concerned about what they have encountered in the college setting. I'm seriously concerned about what my great-grandson might find, and we really don't want him to be in the public schools. I taught public school, and I saw the good and the bad there. I was raised way back when we had actual discipline in schools, and so I was a dinosaur. I was very upset about what I saw as far as discipline. And if there is not discipline and enforcement and support in the public schools or in any school, there's no education.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think I've said this any number of times. I mean, the classroom is sacrosanct. If there's no discipline, there's no learning. It's that simple, you know. And I do think that there are lots of issues pertaining to discipline within the public schools, but some of the big problems that we've had is that the Southern Poverty Law Center has sued Mobile because they argued that the disciplinary system was unfair, that too many children, particularly black kids, were being sent out of school. I mean, and Mobile caved on it. They didn't even have the guts to stand up and say, No, it's a fair system. Little Johnny, little Sally do something bad, they're going to be punished. But oh no. So that's the world that we live in as far as all that goes. But I certainly hear what you're saying, and we hear that from so many parents and grandparents, and that's why you have a movement away from the public schools. My problem with moving away from the public schools is that somewhere along the line, these kids have to have a good education. And our argument has been for the last 10 years, Common Core is the problem, okay? And I think that, well, that's certainly for another discussion time. The reality is, before they adopted Common Core, 2010, Alabama was rated 25th on the National Association, assessments. By 2019, 52nd in math, 48th in ELA. So you all out there in radio land, you can say, oh, well, you've been fixated on Common Core. You're right, I am fixated on Common Core because it was done purposely to do exactly what we're seeing, which is the destruction of the education of these kids. So having said my piece here, Charmaine, thank you so much for what you're doing with Common Sense. And of course, Emily and Rebecca, we want to get a little bit more background into what is Moms for Liberty. So each of you take some time to tell us what Moms for Liberty, well, how you found out about Moms for Liberty, and then what you did to start moving in the direction of forming chapters in your area in Huntsville, as I know Emily has, and as I think Rebecca is trying to do down here. So Emily, why don't you take that one and tell us about how you found out about Moms for Liberty and what you're doing to, widen the net to get more people involved with it.
Sure. So I learned about Moms for Liberty really through Steve Bannon's War Room, the podcast I listen to a lot. I would dial into that, listen to his show pretty regularly, and Tiffany Justice, who's one of the co-founders, would join periodically talking about what Moms for Liberty was. So I researched it, got a better understanding of exactly what they stood for, their values, their mission, and kind of how they fight. I put air quotes around fight. And it just really resonated with everything I was dealing with and what I wanted to see changing in our community. So I reached out to the people at Nationals, kind of learned a little bit about what it meant to start a chapter and kind of the boxes you had to check. And it was a pretty low threshold. I was surprised. You had to get 10 people and a couple of officers, and that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And then you just go out into the community and start recruiting. So I had a couple of friends here in Huntsville that were in similar situations, wanted to really start cleaning up our schools and reclaiming parental control over their children. So we sat down one day and kind of mapped out what we were going to do, and within probably 6 to 8 weeks, we had our chapter established and we're meeting and trying to engage the community to raise awareness.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, as you did all of that, did you find any resistance to your attempts to, bring about a Moms for Liberty in your community?
Yes and no. So where I expected to see the resistance, I didn't. In the places I thought that it would be an easy path forward is where our resistance was. Parents are not aware. They're not awake. So they have no idea of what's going on. Therefore, they have no idea we even exist. So right. That's been not resistance, but it's been a challenge that we've had to deal with. School systems are very different. They have, I'm trying to be really cautious with my words. They have really thick walls. They do not want you asking questions. They do not want you in the classroom. They do not want you in the school at all. So that's where I've seen the most resistance is just communication and transparency with our schools.
Uh-huh.
And we've met with the local senators and representatives in our area. It's just kind of burying their head in the sand. Arthur Orr is my senator. I think he has a lot of great qualities. When we talked to him earlier in the spring about the need for school choice, he kind of laughed at us and said, "You're in Madison City Schools. You are the epitome of what school systems want to be, and you're complaining. You have everything people want, and you're complaining." They don't want to hear the issues. They don't want to have to deal with cleaning it up. So that's one of our biggest obstacles of resistance, is getting people to realize there are problems in our school systems, and I can't clearly define it because the school system won't answer my questions.
Well, let me ask you one further question, because I know that the Southern Poverty Law Center had a problem with them too. Can you just tell us about that quickly?
Sure. So out of kind of nowhere this summer, they put out an article and they had labeled Moms for Liberty an extremist hate group, an anti-government extremist hate group. So they've done that with very little justification. They had a couple of tweets that people had put out around the country and little things like that, nothing of substance, but they put it out there, and we have received so much hate as a response to that. People will send me messages on Facebook all the time telling us that we're white supremacists, Nazis, and a hate group, and therefore it's okay to hate us, even though there's nothing to justify that label that we were given.
Well, you see, that is the problem in both areas, where the schools don't want to listen to you, and then you've got people like SPLC. And the danger with these people is that they have labeled hate groups. And there was a group in Washington, I think it was one of the Right to Life folks, and some idiot tried to go there with a gun and shoot people. They stopped it, but this is all part of, you know, SPLC sending out these signals to these nut jobs who will go out and actually act on it. So Rebecca, what's your experience with all this? And you heard what Emily had to say, and since you're relatively new at it, but I would think you're probably going to have some similar experiences.
Well, as far as for me, I am cautiously optimistic because I am new to this area, so I don't have the background with the public schools or the politicians. Mm-hmm. So I've just kind of come in from a view of above, kind of just witnessing.
Blank slate.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a really good way to approach it. And as far as Moms for Liberty, Emily is the one who contacted me because I spoke out at a city council meeting, and she saw it, and she thought that I would be a good fit. So I really spent a lot of time researching Moms for Liberty because I want to attach my name to things that resonate with what I believe. Mm-hmm. And I love that this group is a nonpartisan group. Our focus is parental rights and children. And anybody in the community can join it. Grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, uncle, aunt. So even though it's called Moms for Liberty and it can be a little confusing, we just want community members to stand up for the children that we have all been gifted to guide through this life by God. Right. And so that is the other thing I love about Moms for Liberty, is that there is a foundation of faith. And I was even asked about it when I was interviewed to get the permission to start the chapter.
Right.
So
you've already laid the groundwork for being involved with them. I mean, what process
yes.
is there? I mean, how do you get the stamp of approval?
Well, you have to, you know, they do a kind of a background check. I mean, you know, they make sure right. that you have the intentions that they have, and that all of our views are aligned,
right.
and that our focuses remain united, even though each county or area of the state may have different needs. They you know, ask questions, and
right.
you go through an interview, and then, you know, I had to fill out paperwork. I feel like they did a really good job of making sure that you know, we're
right.
we're aligned, and so that was important to me. And I think in Baldwin County, you know, I'm very familiar with certain terms that were used where I lived, and so I started researching things, and I'm seeing that these same terms are being used here, and they
right.
sound very helpful to parents, and we're going to help you out. And as a parent, you can relax a little bit because you know, we've got it.
We're here.
Yeah, yeah, and so it's very confusing. And so I think my main job here in Baldwin County, what I've noticed, is just really talking about what's really happening, and not from a political standpoint, but just from, hey, I'm a mom, and I love my kids, and I know that all parents love their kids too. So let's just talk about the truth of what's going on, and then we can figure out what to do about it. And so I've noticed some really concerning things, and I think that a lot of people don't understand what's happening.
Right.
And I want to tell them.
Okay. Examples? Like what types of things?
I was going to get to that, but that's okay.
Okay.
No. Lori owns the show, so it's okay.
You can't take the journalist out of the journalist.
All
there
right.
There it is.
Well, I think for me, like, one of the things that's very, very concerning is that there is the way that things are worded, the way that it kind of manipulates and twists things. For instance, social emotional learning, mm-hmm. big red flag. Equity and diversity, big red flag. There is a group called Parents Defending Education. And if you look on their website, you can find an indoctrination map. If you click on the indoctrination map, you can type in Alabama, or it's actually a drop-down menu. You can select Baldwin County or any county that you're in, and you will be able to see what sort of things are happening in your county in regards to education. So that's my focus right now. Education, what's happening in the schools, and making sure that parents realize what's going on. So, you know, at this point, we do in Baldwin County have an opportunity to shut this down before it gets too far. So let's be proactive and not wait until we're all, right. What happened in Washington, where we're all just kind of like, oh my gosh, we didn't even know this was happening.
Well, let me ask both you and Emily, and then I'll get to you, Charmaine. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned that Moms for Liberty is nonpartisan. Well, I mean, if you look at the lay of the land, the Democrats are totally opposed to everything that you all are doing, what you stand for, values-wise. I mean, you can't be for kids and be a Democrat if you're willing to see a baby, you know, aborted at the end of the pregnancy. I mean, it's just, I suppose things like that just sort of, you know, take me into the, you know, the line of thought that it's okay to say nonpartisan, but in reality, how could you technically be nonpartisan? First of all, to Rebecca, then Emily, if you would address that one.
I agree with you. I do know that our views will align more with conservative values.
Yeah.
But the thing about Moms for Liberty, or what I would like to kind of help people understand, is that we're not a group that is interested in dividing anything. So what we want to do is bring parents together, educate people about what's happening. And obviously our group's views are conservative, because we want the rights of our children to reside with the parents, and we want to protect our children from indoctrination and sexualization. And so, yeah, but there's a lot of people that are, because of what happened with COVID, and they started realizing that medical rights were being taken.
Right.
And so they decided they were going to become independents. They don't side with the Democrats any longer.
Right.
The Democrats have become a radicalized group of people that honestly don't even resonate with the true Democrats any longer.
Right.
So we just want to unite people and empower them to take their children's education into their own hands.
Okay. Emily, what are your thoughts on this nonpartisan, partisan business?
I think you're 100% spot on, and I've had that conversation about three times this past week. I think where Moms for Liberty started with the nonpartisan thing made sense at the time. I think our political environment has shifted greatly in the past 2 years, that it's really hard to stick with that. I agree with the intent behind it. You know, parental rights shouldn't be a Republican or Democrat thing. It should be something that, to Rebecca's point, it unifies all parents. My mom, both of my parents are diehard Democrats. How they ended up with me, I'll never know.
Mm-hmm. It's
but
history.
Something that we always, or at least my mom and I, have been able to find middle ground on is the protection of children. My mom worked for DHR for 25 years, so it's very near and dear to her heart. We were having a conversation a few weeks ago around boys being in women's bathrooms, and my mom, who has been a Democrat her whole life, said, absolutely, boys do not belong in women's bathrooms. That's an invasion of privacy. It puts girls at risk, you know, everything that we scream about. So I think that's where that nonpartisan piece comes in, is that we should be able to have these conversations with that political influence and find that common ground to unify and fight those battles to protect our children.
Okay. Thank you,
when
both.
When we have those one-on-one conversations, we get there. It's just really hard to get to that point of having a conversation.
Right. Well, Sharp, go ahead. Rebecca has a point to make here.
Well, I just wanted to answer the question as to what specific examples do I have as to what's happening specifically in Baldwin County. I didn't get to that point. So right now, there's a document that has been posted, and if you go to where I told you to go to, the indoctrination map, you'll be able to see it. But it basically talks about how these school counselors have to affirm the identity of the students in the schools. So it's called the Comprehensive Counseling and Guidance Plan 2022-2023. It mandates that school counselors respect the sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression of students. It further mandates that school counselors understand and advocate for all students' rights to be treated in a manner that honors and respects their identity and expression, including but not limited to race, gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation, language, and ability status. And if that was not concerning enough, the document additionally mandates that school counselors actively advocate for systemic and other changes needed for equitable participation and outcomes in educational programs. Now, I want just stop and think about this. You can have equality, meaning every student should have equal access to
and
programs and opportunities. All students. It does not matter, and it should not matter, race, you know, the money, the how much money the family has, any of that. Every child should have equal opportunity. However, equal opportunity does not mean equal outcome. Mm-hmm. I have four
exactly.
children. They all have the same opportunity. I have one that's probably going to be Jimmy Buffett on a boat floating around drinking beer and having people fish for, and that's how he's going to earn his money. I have a daughter who speaks fluent Chinese, and she may do something
in,
you know,
government.
With that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see about the government.
Well, State
part.
Department. That's, you
but,
know.
You know, I'm yeah, just saying
right.
they all have equal opportunity. Not the outcome
right.
will not be equal. So with this document, you're expecting school counselors. And in Baldwin County, I go to church and I see the principal of my daughter's school and other staff members that go to church there. You're asking them to do something that could possibly be against their moral values. And then it trickles, and I've been through this where I lived, down to the teachers. And then it trickles to the students. And then the teachers start leaving. And those are the good teachers, the teachers you want to teach your children, the teachers that love on your kids. They start leaving because it's not worth it. And then sometimes the good ones will stay. but they're defeated every day.
Right. Well, you see, I mean, you've put your finger on another aspect of the whole Common Core problem, which is a little bit beyond where we are today. But the reality is the combination of Common Core has opened up the door to CRT, to DEI, all of these kinds of things. But superimposed over that is the American School Counselors Association. And that document that you just talked about, that's exactly from them. And this is where the fight really is, because that's the indoctrination part of this. So how we deal with this right now, we have, you know, roadblocks with in our legislature. We have a really great guy that you and Emily both heard from at our last meeting. That's Mike Parsons. And getting a legislator to take this fight is one of our big issues. So having said all of that, I wanted to shift now just for a minute to let Charmaine talk about, you know, what she's found out and what she's trying to do in terms of the project that Common Sense is dealing with.